Hey guys, this is Jacques. Welcome back to Unpopular. How is everybody doing? Are you guys glad that the submarine saga is over? It imploded, they're dead, case closed. I think we can move on now. That really ate up the news cycle. I feel like it was Natalia Grace, you know, the little orphan, the psycho orphan. Well, we don't know if she's a psycho or not. I don't think they ever figured it out. But it was like the orphan girl, and then it was the submarine. Were you like addicted to the breaking news updates? I honestly did not, and I'm not being a pick me. I was just skimming the headlines and tweets though, but I didn't get sucked in by it because I'm just so jaded from working in media for so long, and I'm just so used to everything like getting sensationalized so much. Like, you know, they kept reporting, I would see like a headline of, oh my God, we're hearing like SOS signals, or we've picked up on something. There's still hope that like we can find them. They may be alive. And then a week later, after, you know, by the second updates of like, oh my God, like we could find them. Then it's like, oh, it actually like imploded days ago and they died instantly. Bye. Like very anticlimactic. I think just for everyone that was super invested in this, but I did not let myself get sucked into it. I really just like skimmed headlines, like I said, because I've been on that other side in the newsroom when there's like a big thing like this breaking. And if somebody sneezes, they will get you to like whip that up into like huge headline news. Breaking news, like someone sneezes and whatever. Like, I'm just so used to it being fake. So I just never like go that deep on it. I'm trying to think of what the last one was that I was really into. I was very into that Turpin family. You know, the, I can't even remember what they were. Were they like Christians or something? And they were abusing their kids. I think they had like 13 kids and they were chained to the bed, and one of them had to steal a cell phone and sneak out at night, and they got her on like the Ring cam. I was definitely into the Turpin family thing. I was like checking like by the minute for the updates on that. And I remember one of the Turpin kids went on, it was like 60 Minutes or like 2020, some like American talk show. And like, we couldn't get it in Australia. It was geo-blocked. I was like frantically trying to find links for the like tell-all Turpin interview. So I definitely got sucked into that. But the submarine, I was just like, you know, it's a submarine. It's down there. They'll either find it or they won't. You know what I mean? Like, no one knows shit. So, and I was kind of right at the end because it was like, bang, it blew up. Yeah, I don't know. Am I missing a sensitivity chip that I wasn't that upset? Because I did see a lot of comments of people were like, you know, my heart's breaking for them and stuff. I don't know. Like, I don't know these people. I'm a little bit Lisa Vanderpump, I think, which is funny because I kind of hate her, but we are both Virgos. And she cares about her money, like her business, and she cares about her family, like her kids and Ken Todd, and she cares about animals. But like everyone else, like, she doesn't give a fuck. Like, she does not care. So I think I'm a little LVP emotionally, mixed in with just like being very cynical from working in the media and just seeing how everything's like fucking fake. So I could not get emotionally invested. Although I was into the billionaire's son, you know, the one that were like the guy that was going to the Blink 182 concert while his dad was in the sub, and he was like messaging OnlyFans models on Twitter and stuff. I thought that was pretty funny. I was clicking those articles when it was like, you know, signs that like the submarine 5 could be alive. I'm like skimming past. And then when it's like billionaire's son tweets OnlyFans model, I'm like, I'm going to read that one. I would read like, you know, 47 pars on that on like the Daily Mail. HRH Collection had this really deranged video going viral where she's like screaming about the submarine because she was so angry that it imploded and that we didn't get any like gory details. I mean, she was like really unhinged with it. She was like, I wanted to see them killing each other and like shitting themselves because they were so scared and like becoming cannibals. Like, you know that movie Alive where the plane crashes and everyone starts eating each other? She went totally unhinged with it, but like, she was right. I mean, I didn't want to see to the extent, I mean, I didn't want to see people like shitting and eating each other and stuff, but like, that's why you guys were following it. You wanted some like true crime, sick details of what happened to the people in that submarine. Like, you were not just following it to see them rescued, like, period. You were not. If you were just following it to see them rescued, you wouldn't be like addicted to all these true crime shows. I know that you guys are watching all of this fucking true crime stuff and you want all the disgusting details of these different crimes and like how people are being tortured and murdered and scammed and ripped off. Like, you want the most disgusting details possible. And you did want that from the submarine. Like, don't even pretend that you didn't. Like, if they had pulled up that submarine, say, for example, they rescued the people, of course, like, we would all be happy. Like, I would, like, by the way, just to state for the record, in case it's not clear, of course I wanted them to be rescued. I didn't want the bad things to happen to them, and I didn't want it to implode. But I'm just saying, if they rescued that submarine and they were all fine, but then say the people went radio silent and they didn't give you any details about like what happened down there, like you would be pissed. Like at first you'd be like, oh my God, they found them alive. And then if they didn't tell you what happened in the fucking thing, you want to know like, oh my God, like how did you react when you found out that, you know, you might not be able to like surface again? Like, was there any water leaking in? Like, were people turning on each other? Like, were you scared? Did you start praying? Like, you would want to know those details. And if they fucking rescued them and they didn't tell you anything and those people just faded into obscurity, like you would be pissed. I feel like the submarine thing did expose a little bit of a dark part of me, because like Dan was the one that messaged me about it originally, because I wasn't checking any of the news sites or anything. And he was like, I'm obsessed with this submarine thing. And like literally the first thing in my mind, honestly, was like, oh my God, I hope they survive because I want to see the cell phone footage. Because I knew that they would have had their phones down there to take selfies in front of the little window, like next to the Titanic thing. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want them eating each other and stuff like HRH did, but I would want just like a few hours of like, shit, like, are we going to get out of this or not? And then, you know, it surfaces and they're fine, but like, we can see the cell phone footage. Like, you know that you want to watch that, like 100%. Anyway, I blame social media for that and reality TV. It's like not my fault that I'm sick. You know, we live in a society where everything is content. So I blame society, and you make us watch all these true crime things, little Natalia Grace and the rest of it. So, you know, how else is my brain supposed to work? Oh my God. And if you've still got submarine brain, like from the sub 5 news cycle, you have to watch the movie, Das Boot, the German war movie. It is so good. I've talked about it before. It's one of my favorite movies. It's so good. I know some of you don't care because you just listen to hear me talk about like, you know, reality shows, but it is so good. It's about this German crew on a submarine during World War II and kind of the psychological impacts of being like, you know, locked in a tin can for months at a time. It's so harrowing and claustrophobic. Like when you watch this movie, you will want to go take a shower, because it's like World War II times. They're fucking down in this submarine. They're filthy. They're like covered in oil and grease and muck, and it's like disgusting. And they don't know if they're going to survive because they're like, you know, battling like the fucking other ships. They've got like leaks. They're trying to like patch up the leaks before. It's like, oh my God, girl, I'm telling you, it's incredible. It's so good. You have to watch it. Das Boot. It's like a classic. I think it won like Best Picture, or was like nominated for Best Picture, something like that, like back in the day. Very famous movie. It was also a TV series. Like they made it into a TV show like in the last few years. I haven't watched the TV show. Apparently that's more... whatever. I mean, I'm sure it's good, but I can't vouch for it. So watch the movie, and RIP to the Submarine 5. I mean, obviously I feel bad for them, guys. I'm just saying, I don't know them. Like, I'm like LVP. I don't know them personally, okay? So, you know, am I like in my front yard, like pouring one out for the Submarine 5? Like, I'm not. I'm sorry. I do not know them, but it was like sad. And I was glad when it imploded, by the way, because I'm like, good, like instant death. Like, I could think of worse ways to go out. When they, because I was saying that they wouldn't have known, right? That it would have happened so quickly that it'd just be like, in an instance, pretty much you're gone. And I'm like, that like wouldn't be that bad. Like, cause they're doing something adventurous and fun. I mean, I don't get why they wanted to look at that fucking, the old Titanic out of that little window. I just don't understand the PlayStation controller. I don't get why you would go on there if you saw the PlayStation controller, why you would look at that little window. Like, you can look at that on YouTube, you know, like, I know it's not the same, but you're not getting like a good view. If it was kind of like, you know, the Titanic movie, at the start where they have the little robot and it's like going through the ship and it's like finding roses. I think it finds like the diamond or whatever. And it's like looking through all the shit in there. Like if you could do that, it was like that interactive. I could understand going down there, but like just to be in that little claustrophobic ocean, what was it, what the ocean drive or whatever it's called, I can't remember what it's called, that thing. I just don't get, but anyway, I'm glad that it just happened very instantly, because I was kind of thinking about that versus like me just like getting older and then, you know, you're like, you're old on your deathbed and you're having regrets like, God, why didn't I do this in my life? Like, why didn't I do that? Like, I've died alone, you know, no one's here. Like, I don't have any kids. I'm like, I would honestly would have rather the to go out like the submarine five. It was five people, right? I'm telling you guys, I did not follow it that closely, but I'm sure it was, wait, I'm going to Google it. Submarine 5. Submarine, wait. Titanic sub blah blah blah. Ocean Gate. Yes, it was 5. The Submarine 5. Okay, anyway, guys. Lots to talk about today. I found a new Bravo show that's actually amazing. Can you believe it? Just when you think that all hope is lost, we get some light at the end of the tunnel. By the way, someone left me a comment saying that, I'm trying to remember what it was, like, you're not that smart. You're bitter and negative. Stop calling your listeners dumb. Your ego's too big. Like, you're not right about everything, et cetera, et cetera. I think it was in response to the Vanderpump Rules episode I did about like Raquel and Ariana and how people were like protesting Tom Sandoval's shows. Here's the thing. Do I think that I'm the smartest person in the room? Definitely not. Many times in my life, I am the dumbest person in the room. I'm more accustomed to being the dumbest person in the room than the smartest. Do I think I'm the smartest person in the room in a room full of Bravo viewers? Yes. And any like self-respecting person listening right now should also think the same. We're talking about grown ass women that drove to a Tom Sandoval show with a sign they made at home saying poo poo head. And they waved it around and they spent like $60 on a t-shirt that said mustache with a worm and a mug that said hunky dory and send it to Daryl. Like, of course I'm smarter than those people. Like, anyone should, like, anyone that can knows how to make a fucking cup of tea is smarter than those people. So yes, I will say it. All of you should be saying it. These people should be called out and mocked at every fucking chance we get. They should be ridiculed because they are the same people that contributed to the downfall of Bravo. They're the same people that campaign for all the good talent to be fired. Everyone's racist. Anyone that makes drama is toxic. They go on social media and send death threats. They sit around on Reddit and they're like, oh my God, look, I took up sewing and I sewed a fucking bonnet that says hunky dory on the back. Like, they're literally doing that. Go on that Reddit. I told you, they're making AI imagery of sneakers that the sneakers look like a housewife. This is the Kyle Richards sneaker. And it's like, it says goodbye Kyle on the side of the sneaker that they made on AI technology. Like, it's fucking insane. Like, these people are so stupid and they are always wrong. Like, and I'm not always right, but I'm definitely more right than those people are and more right than the other people that comment on this shit. So, you know, me ripping on those people, that's kind of part of this podcast. It has been for many years. When I cover these shows from this particular network, that is an aspect of how I cover it and it ain't changing. So there's that. By the way, if you're on my Patreon, guys, go back and listen months ago. Another thing that I was right about, although I don't think it took a rocket scientist to clock this. So I'm kind of, I feel like anyone that has like a functioning brain would have got this. This isn't shade to Zach Peter, by the way. Now it sounds like I'm about to shade Zach Peter, my friend, who I'm not. And he is actually very smart and sees through the BS. But we were arguing on my Patreon months ago, not arguing, but we were talking about Louis. And he was kind of defending Louis. And I was like, you are being manipulated. You're being manipulated, bitch. Like, this is not, like, whatever. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but hello, look, where are we now with Louis? And when I went out with Rick and Kelly in the OC as well, they had just come back from a cruise in Bermuda or something with, like, Heather McDonald and Teresa and Louis and a bunch of other people. And Rick and Kelly were like, you know, Louis was like very charming. And I'm like, yes, because he is a con artist. And they were like, I mean, they didn't say anything negative about Louis. They were just like, well, you know what? We don't know, but he was very nice. And I'm like, he's like Jen Shah. This is what they do. So, you know, look where we are now with Louis, guys. So some of you guys are just, it's like right in front of you. And you just don't see it. It's like I'm showing you a piece of paper and the paper is green. I'm going, look, this piece of paper is green. You're going, that's a rainbow. It's like, no, it's a green piece of paper. Like, please. I just feel like so beaten and weathered by this industry, by reality TV. Like, someone asked me the other day why I'm not watching Married at First Sight anymore. And I was just like, I know too much about this fucking show. Like, I've seen how the sausage is made. And now I'm friends with, like, villains from the show, but I can read through the edit on that show really well. It's the biggest show here in Australia, and it's so heavily edited. And when I'm watching it, I can see all of the Frankenbiting and the editing tricks and, like, that reaction shot's out of context. She didn't mean this like that. And I can see, like, the story production. And then, you know, I go on social media, or because of my job, and we cover Married at First Sight here a lot because it rates, you know, millions of people watch it every episode here. I see the kind of like social reactions to it, and I'm just like, oh my God, you people could not be any more wrong. How are you falling for this fucking edit? And now that, you know, I know so many people now that have been on that show, and yeah, it's just crazy. I'm just too cynical to this stuff now. I've seen behind the curtain too much. I've actually been watching like a million reality shows though, because I was sick over the last week and all I did was just watch TV on the couch. It was disgusting. I did a Patreon episode last week, by the way, kind of just going over the trillion shows that I watched. I was watching Bell Collective, Carlos King's show. Pretty good, interesting, because they have a weird race thing where they take this white cast member and it's completely set up by production and they like set her up as a racist. It's so fucked. But it's a pretty interesting show. It's about black business women in Mississippi. I watched Dancing Queens. I watched Ladies of London. I watched so many shows. So I did a big Patreon about that. It was funny because I watched every show except Summer House, Martha's Vineyard, okay? I don't even watch the original Summer House anymore because it, you know, that jumped the shark. But I was like, yeah, I don't want to watch another Bravo show just because of the editing, you know, it gets very repetitive. Like, I was trying to watch some shows. That's why I watched Bell Collective on different networks just to, I didn't want the same formula of with, like, the Bravo show, right? It's like they cut and paste the same types of different people and they put them into that template. So then, you know, every confessional, every kind of reaction shot, you know, the way that they try to start a storyline, it's kind of the same thing. I'm like, you know, I've had my fill for now. But people said, about three people maybe, because I think only three people are watching Martha's Vineyard, and they said, no, this show is so good, you've got to check it out. I was sick on the couch. I'm like, all right, fuck, let me try Martha's Vineyard. And girl, this show is amazing. This is the best show on Bravo outside of the last Vanderpump season, obviously, and like, you know, Below Deck Sailing Yacht. This is the best. It's fire, okay? So let me set it up for you guys. It's just like the OG Summer House. So it's a group of friends and they like to drink and they party and they rent a house outside of New York for the summer. It's pretty much actually, because I was thinking about it, Bravo's just ripped off like Floribama Shore and Jersey Shore. Like, let's get friends that go to the Shore House and party. So they've copied that. They've just made the people a little bit older and like quote unquote classier than, you know, Snooki and co, but it's still people being a mess, you know, in the Hamptons. So on Summer House, they go to the Hamptons. This is the spin-off Martha's Vineyard. It's an all-black cast and they go to Martha's Vineyard, which traditionally is where a lot of black folk go to vacation. It's probably best known these days for the Obamas because they were always going there. And then they have like a big holiday home or mansion or something there now. And famously, Obama during the pandemic had that huge birthday bash and it was like, nobody there had to wear masks. They were all dancing and partying maskless. Maskless. And they were partying without their masks, even though all the Democrats across America were like pushing the Nazi mask mandates. You're killing grandma if you don't wear a mask outside. Then the fucking Obamas and Bruce Springsteen and all of their friends, Chrissy Teigen, are like dancing with their masks off. Like, girl, please. Like, if you couldn't fucking cotton on then that this was a fucking scam, like, what are you doing? I just banged my keyboard, sorry guys. So anyway, everybody on Martha's Vineyard, everyone on this cast is just there to be famous. Like, no one has a real fucking job. Almost every woman there, I'm not exaggerating, like 75% of the women on the show are all ex-Playboy models. Like, they met working at the Playboy Club. I think they tried to revive those Playboy Clubs years ago. So they opened a bunch and they brought the bunnies back, and like, it didn't really work out, which is a shame because you guys know I love Playboy. That's actually the reason. That's the tipping thing that made me watch this. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do it. And then when I saw that it had Playboy bunnies, I was like, okay, I need to watch for the like the Playboy vibes. Two of the girls are OnlyFans models on this. They're like sugar baby models. And they're like, yeah, we had an OnlyFans account. They're all aspiring influencers. There's aspiring screenwriters on there. Like, not one real job amongst anybody. They have been circling the drain just trying to get, like, to get to this point, to get on a reality show. So that's what they're living for. Even the most normal cast member, it's this gay guy named Preston. He's one of these, like, you know, DEI grifters. He has a consulting firm, quote unquote consulting firm, and it just like scams companies into, you know, paying him to tell them that they need to hire like more transgender people. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fake job. Like, these diversity jobs are fake. And like, sometimes you can get, I mean, they're all fake, but at least sometimes you can be hired directly from a company and you're like the head of the, you know, diversity department or something. But like, he's not even that. He has his own like freelancing firm where he's going around telling people to be, you know, I'm going to educate you on like microaggressions. Like, so a fake job. They're all fake. That's no different than the OnlyFans girls here that are on the show because they want like a flat tummy tea deal. So not a real job in sight. And usually that's like a bad thing on reality shows. That's kind of like one of the problems with reality TV now, is that no one actually has a real full life that they're going to let you into and show you warts and all. And they have things, you know, they give you things to follow. They're just like living to be famous, and their life is that they're on a TV show. So it actually fucks up a lot of shows. But with this, it works perfectly because the concept of the show, again, is like Jersey Shore. So it's like, let's just be in a house, be outrageous, have a good time, you know, fuck, fight, and leave. So getting these kind of messy people, it just is the perfect storm. So let's just cut to the chase with this show, okay? It's an all-black show, and I know that a lot of my white listeners are thinking that they didn't want to watch it. I mean, some people told me this. I know y'all did not want to watch this because it's an all-black cast and you just felt like on a network like Bravo, which is, you know, a very liberal, very fucking liberal network that has like the highest amount of like white college-educated Karen bitches watching, you were like, I'm not fucking watching this show because I'm going to get preached to about race and BLM, etc. And I've just been through that with Ebony K. Williams and Bronwyn Wyndham Burke and just all of the wokeness on Bravo for years and in the culture, and everything's politicized, and I'm not about to go into a new show and have that happen again. I know that's what you were thinking. A few people said it to me, but like, you don't even have to say it to me, because like, I know that's the first thing that you think when you see the poster for Summer House Martha's Vineyard on Bravo. We all have PTSD from the summer of Floyd, okay? Especially when it comes to some of these reality franchises like The Bachelor and The Housewives, because they just became so preachy. And, you know, someone said to me the other day that I was talking to, they're like, you know, Ebony K. Williams gets made a scapegoat for this. I'm like, she should be the fucking scapegoat, because she is like the pinnacle of this and the worst example. And just like the way she weaponized race, it canceled Roni. Like, it canceled Roni. Like, it's gone now because of Ebony K. Williams. The most lauded, critically acclaimed, like, Bravo reality show, or one of the most acclaimed, I would say, reality shows just in general ever. It's gone now because they fucking hired Ebony K. Williams and let her do group dinners, which were CRT courses. And if you didn't want to do the course, you were a racist Nazi, and it destroyed, like, they had to fucking cancel the show because she put them in such a bad position, okay? And every single franchise that had any kind of mixed race casting had a race issue. Like, every single one. You can't name one franchise that didn't. The only one I think that didn't was the original Summer House. They touched on it a little bit when Maya cried on the beach saying it's really hard to be black in the Hamptons. And then Sierra, who I don't think was like really agreeing with her, but she kind of felt like she had to you know, as a sister had to kind of support her. But that was the closest they really got to that. But every single other show, it was like a microaggression. Like, even if no racial topic was even brought up, like, the viewers were just like, that's a microaggression. And by the way, that does not reflect the real world. Like, when you go out in the real world and you mix with people of, like, different races and stuff, how often is this shit coming up? Never. Or if it is, maybe, like, once, and then you turn on Bravo and every single Housewives show that has mixed race cast members, suddenly there's a fight about race and you're being racist to me. Like, this, it was just crazy. So we are finally seeing this go away now. You know, the forced diversity casting is kind of out the window. Like, the Housewives of OC gave up. They're back to an all-white cast now. It's like, you know, they tried, they brought in Noella, didn't work. I know that on some shows, there was something that aired recently. I can't remember what it was, but they had a big fight about racism. So one of the housewives that I know, like, told me during filming, she's like, oh my God, they were calling this person racist. And then I watched the season when it came out and they didn't even air it. So Bravo's like editing it out now because they're like, no. We know that this was a catastrophic failure, what we did over these last few years, and no one wants to fucking watch it. So we're going to like edit this shit out. You know, we lost a lot. We lost Roni. We lost Dallas Housewives. We were very close to losing OC and Vanderpump Rules as well. Like, Vanderpump Rules was hanging on by a thread. And then the OC as well. Like, they fucking cleared house, got rid of Kelly and Elizabeth and Bronwyn and everyone because that was politicized. Like, dangerous times. The network nearly went under. They've realized the error of their ways. They're getting back to fun content. So you're probably nervous to watch Summer House Martha's Vineyard. You're probably getting like Ebony flashbacks. And Martha's Vineyard actually has a shift away from this in a way that's like very interesting. It's kind of subtle at times, but you can even see it on this show where they try to frame this show around black excellence, which is hilarious because it's literally a show about just like getting drunk. And like, some of the stuff that goes down in this season is, like, very wild. And I'm like, this isn't black excellence. Like, it's very cool and entertaining. I wouldn't class this as, like, black excellence. This isn't fucking Rosa Parks over here. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, Rosa Parks doing a kegger maybe, but that's it. So they do a lot of these forced conversations about black excellence, and it's so out of place. You know, you're not Michelle Obama. You are Snooki. You are Natalie Nunn. But whenever they start preaching, Bravo actually will like cut to everybody looking like really bored and over it and like not here for it. And it's this fucking Preston, the diversity and inclusion officer. He's the one that always does it. And then the editors will play like church music over it. Like, he's preaching, like they're poking fun at it. It's like a wink and a nod to the audience to be like, hey guys, you know, we're actually here to party. It's not a CRT course. And if they had these scenes like 2 years ago, like, they would have edited it so super seriously. They would have treated it with the utmost importance. This is a very important conversation. It's just important to listen and to learn. And you would have had to sit there and listen to the preaching. And anybody that, like, doesn't want to participate, they would have been edited like the most ignorant, racist person ever. Social media would have been falling out and flipping out. So for Bravo to, like, take this approach with the editing of kind of, like, making fun of this and being like, yeah, this is annoying and preachy, that is huge for them. That is like a very big sign of them going, yes, we are trying to get away from the wokeness. We know that it doesn't work. All of the lecturing comes from Preston. He needs to get the fuck off the show because not only does he talk about race stuff, he talks about like queerness. Like, they throw a pride party, okay? And then he's giving a speech at the start about fucking whatever it means, like politically. It's like, bitch, you know that what a pride party is if you go to a pride party in real life. It's people fucking doing poppers and getting fucked in the toilet and just getting like so shit-faced. I mean, I haven't been to a, you know, pride party for like a trillion years. Like, you know, I used to do that stuff when, you know, in my early 20s. I remember getting like wasted, making out with like random women on the street. I like pissed on a church. Like, that's literally like what these pride parties are. And he's on his fucking soapbox giving a speech about, it's like, girl, stop. Like, this is a fake reality that you're creating. He goes on about like gender roles and, you know, masculinity and femininity. Like, it's a constant like gender studies course with him. He's the worst. He's literally like, I'm a black queer activist and, you know, I need to use my platform to educate. He walks around with a t-shirt that says, I'm a black queer writer or something. It's like, girl, sit the fuck down. So he needs to go, and he's actually kind of likable outside of that, but it's like, wrong show. Go on Ebony's show and do this shit. Like, she has her own show now where she talks about politics. Perfect for her. Like, amazing. Happy for you, Ebony. Go be the co-host with Ebony. And then the other woke cast member, she's one of the Playboy girls. She was, like, the Playmate of the Year. I think she was the first Black Playmate of the Year to, like, cover the magazine, something like that. She's beautiful. Her name is Jordan. She's a stunner. And she's completely paranoid about her looks, as in, like, she hates being objectified. So she knows she's beautiful, but she's very self-conscious about it. She freaks out about being objectified. She worries about how she's perceived. So she just stomps around the house like this stereotypical, like, angry millennial fourth wave feminist. Why can't I talk today? I don't know what's going on. She's so humorless. Like, you can't compliment her. You're not allowed to think she's attractive. She has to remind everybody all the time, like, how intelligent she is. Oh, she's celibate? I've been celibate for a year. I'm not a sexual person. I'm more than my looks. Okay, girl. And, like, that's fine. That's fine. But you're in the wrong place. You're on a reality show off the back of your Playboy career, girl. Like, no one feels sorry for you winning the genetic lottery. If you are born beautiful, you have one life. Now, provided you have the brains to use that beauty correctly, because some people are born very beautiful and they squander that ticket. But if you are blessed enough to be a super beautiful, attractive woman, and, you know, you're not born in fucking, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a bad country. I don't want to offend anybody, whatever. Those shithole countries that Trump talked about, girl. Like, if you were born in New York City and you're, like, super attractive and gorgeous, like, you've won life, sis, okay? We're not going to feel sorry for you. And I'm sure it is annoying leaving the house and being harassed by guys all the time. Look, it's probably a fucking pain in the ass. Would I enjoy that? Probably. But, you know, I've never experienced that, have I? You have. So people stereotype you. You know, you're probably thinking, do they like me for me? Do they just want to fuck me? Whatever. Like, I hear that. I get it. But, like, I still don't feel bad for you. And you didn't go to college to become a doctor, okay? You're not the hot doctor. You're not the hot scientist. You're not the hot fucking babe that's, like, working on an oil rig. Like, you became a Playboy model and a waitress, okay? You were a fucking one of these, like, bottle service waitress girls. You were doing the Playboy thing. Now you're on a Bravo reality show. And you're not even on Married to Medicine, where it's, like, educated women. You're on the show where you rent a house for the weekend and party and hook up with each other, and everyone else on the show is an OnlyFans model or, like, an aspiring screenwriter. Like, give me a break, girl. Like, you get off the show. So I did kind of enjoy watching her, just because, like, anyone that has, like, a different point of view, a strong point of view, is going to be interesting automatically as a reality character. And I would give her another season, but she kind of needs to lose this, because it's like, okay, it was kind of interesting to watch you do the humorless feminist thing and freak out when a guy, you know, she had a massive breakdown and was, like, crying, and people were like, well, I think maybe she has, like, trauma from something else, because it seemed like it was, like, something deeper, because she was acting like these guys had, you know, grabbed her by the pee, which all they had said was, like, a couple of comments of, like, how she looked thick or something. She looked good. Well, one guy did that. The other guy was, like, the most respectful ever, and she chewed his head off, and he didn't even do anything. He's, like, this guy, Amir, he's very cute, but he's come on the show with the Carl Radke kind of approach of, like, I'm Mr. Nice, like, perfect guy. Like, I don't do anything wrong. So he's, like, been on his best behavior, and she flipped out on him. So, I don't know. She needs to, like, switch up her game plan next season. I'll watch her for another season, but if she's gonna hit, like, season 3 of Martha's Vineyard still with this, like, I'm celibate, like, don't look at me, it's like, okay, girl, go on a different go on the Emily Ratajkowski podcast and do that. It'll go down great there. That's the audience for it. This isn't the audience. So the opposite end of the spectrum, there's this crazy girl Shanice. She was dating this guy from that TV series Insecure, and then she ended up stalking him, and it made, like, the tabloids. It was in Page Six and all those places. She's one of those, like, crazy clout chasing thoughts that just sleeps with, like, you know, rappers and athletes and is trying to get famous, and she'll poke holes in the condom because she's like, oh my god, like, maybe I'll get pregnant, and, you know, I'll get a check like for the baby each month from, you know, this NBA player. And she runs around the house naked all the time. She's crazy. She's wasted. It's really funny. So we love her. She understands the assignment. My favorite character is this girl, Bria. She is crazy. She has a sausage dog named Milo that she takes everywhere with her. And the first fight of the season is because she brings the dog and she didn't tell anybody. So the hosts of the house like flip out. They're like, we can't have a dog here. It's leaving fur. I know it sounds stupid, but it's so funny. And let me tell you, this dog Milo is a star, okay? Not all dogs have star quality. Now, we love all dogs. I'm a dog person. Every single dog is like gorgeous and, you know, beautiful and stuff, but not all dogs have that star quality of that quirky personality. My dog Chunky does, okay? So we all love Chunky and I post Chunky on Instagram. People are obsessed. People are like, oh my God, Chunky's like the best dog. And you don't even see the whole of it. You see like 1% of like Chunky, but not all dogs have that. But Milo has that. He's so cute and quirky, and the editors really lean into him. Like, they give him confessional shots. He gets a lot of like airtime for a dog. Like, they're constantly cutting to him. Like, people will be fighting and screaming at each other, and then they'll like cut to Milo, you know, like running past or doing something funny. Just so cute. And I was kind of like, I can't believe it's taken them this long to sort of make a dog a main character on one of these shows. Like, they did it a little bit with Shannon's dog Archie, but this is kind of to another level. So love it. And Bria, who I love, she's always like starting fights with people, and I feel like she's always in the right as well. So I'm definitely like all about her. She's dating this wealthy German guy named Simon, who I think is shady. I like him on the show, so I'm a fan. So nothing about his personality, but my spidey sense is tingling, just like it did with Louis. I feel like he is some dodgy, like, crypto bro, or he has family money, or just a shady company, and he dates, like, models and is doing, like, bad business behind the scenes, allegedly. My opinion, don't sue me. I'm sure you're legit, dude, if you're listening to this. Like, I like you. I just, something's off, okay? I just get a very shady feeling about you. And he shows up to the house with designer watches for everybody. And someone was saying to me that he's actually been like really thirsty, and he's like commenting on every single post about it and trying to get attention. I know that he's sending out press releases to media outlets to interview him. Something's up, but we love him. He's good on the show. I'm just putting it on the record that if this show becomes a big thing, which I think it will, if Bravo sticks with this show, it's going to be a hit, because it's honestly, it's like the best thing I've watched on Bravo in a long time. And once people get over their like BLM phobia and will actually watch it, I feel like it's going to take off. So if he goes down and becomes the next Randall Emmett, you heard it here first. So, yeah, when I said that Martha's Vineyard is doing some of this anti-woke stuff subtly and Bravo's kind of leaning into it in the edit, okay, they do this thing with Simon when before he arrives to the house, the other housemates don't want him to come, and he's going to be the only white person, by the way. It's an all-black cast. So then Bria accuses the hosts of being racist against white people, and they have a huge fight about it, and I'm like, oh my God, finally, the tables are turned on these baseless racism accusations. Like, we're always getting fucking white people called racist every time they breathe, so let's flip it around and see how y'all like it, okay? It's so funny, and you can kind of see how stupid it is. Like, they're definitely not racist, but she's, like, bringing things up. She's like, well, you were making jokes about how you said that he can't cook because he's white and stuff like that, and I mean, she actually has a little bit more evidence than, like, Garcelle has when she fucking brings that card out, but anyway, no one's racist, okay, on Bravo. It's, well, actually, I'm sure some people are, but for the most part, they aren't. Usually, all of this is bullshit, and I feel like doing a scene like this where you do this kind of reverse racism thing, I hope more, like, of the normies can see, like, yeah, this is kind of stupid when we just keep calling everyone racist every time they do something we don't agree with. And last but not least, the couple that is the center of the show, they're like the Kyle and Amanda of Martha's Vineyard, are the Coopers, Silas and Jasmine. They're married. They met during the pandemic. They got married a few months later. Now they're back to real life and they realize, like, hey, we have like nothing in common and completely different lifestyles because, you know, we did the quarantining or lockdowns together. Now we're in the real world and, you know, our marriage is imploding on screen like the submarine. So he is this first generation Liberian. He went to Ivy League schools. He is in the army. So he's just like very old school and he's kind of misogynistic. So he has his very conservative side because of the African background. You know, they're very like traditional. They're very like, you know, be educated, work hard, et cetera, et cetera. And then he also has this like very militant, like hyper-organized side, you know, following all the rules because of the army life. Everything has to be done perfectly, you know, in the army where, you know, they make you make your bed. And if there's like one crinkle in it, they're like, drop and give me 20. Like he has that vibe. So he's like that. And she is this struggling, aspiring screenwriter from New York who at one point was homeless for like 4 years. She was living out of her car with this other chick called Mariah. So they shared the car together because they were trying to make it in the industry. And I think they would shower at the gym or, I don't know, and eat out of the fucking bin at McDonald's. I'm not sure if they were both doing the Playboy thing as well, but they were like out here on the streets. And he even mentions it. He's like, yeah, before I met her and knowing she was homeless, I see that her life was like out of control. So I have to bring some structure to it. And I was like, period, right? Like I kind of agreed with him. But now that she's married and the pandemic's over and she's on a reality show, she just wants to like party and have fun. She doesn't want to play the like docile wife of the African immigrant. She's like, girl, I'm on Bravo now. Like, I'm going to like turn up with my girls. And all of her friends are like, yeah, she used to be like really wild, you know, back in the day. And since she's been with Silas, she's been hiding that. And now we want like the real Jasmine to come back out. And at the start of the season, I was on his side a bit. I'm like, yeah, look, she's probably a hot mess. Like she could probably use a structured guy that has his shit together. And, you know, get with the program, girl, like enjoy the trad wife life. But then as the season goes on, he gets so bad. And I actually prematurely posted on Instagram, like, I like Silas, you know, leave him alone. Like you guys are wrong about him. See, I am wrong about stuff sometimes because then I had to retract it when I watched the later episodes because he's like chastising her for not making a sandwich properly, not ironing properly. She makes him this thing for breakfast and he won't eat it because there's like one thing in there that he didn't want. She can't go out with her girlfriends. She can't raise her voice. It's like very toxic marriage stuff. And I can't wait to watch it kind of play out over future seasons because it's going to be TV gold. Oh, and they also have sex all the time because they're newlyweds. And he must really know how to throw it down because like every episode they cut to the night vision cam and he's just like pounding away and she's like moaning and screaming. And some of the other people in the house that their bedroom is like near theirs, like they have to like go sleep downstairs because like he's fucking laying down the pipe like that good. So I don't know. They have a few things in common. So you guys have to watch this show. I'm telling you, it's really good. And I know what's going to happen, right? You're going to ignore me. You're not going to watch it. This is going to blow up in like a couple of seasons like Summer House did. Summer House really started to take off when Paige and Hannah joined, which was like season 3. And then from there it became like, oh, this is like the new It show of Bravo. For, you know, a hot minute it was the It show. Now it's back in the toilet again. But I feel like that's going to happen with this. Same with Vanderpump Rules. Everyone told you guys to watch Vanderpump Rules. Oh my God, it's one of the best reality shows ever. It's iconic. You ignored. Then when like Raquel and Ariana thing happened, I have to go back and watch Vanderpump Rules now. I have so much to catch up on. Girl, we told you to watch it. So I'm telling you now, you've still got time to get in on this because this is going to be a hit show if Bravo supports it. Now, I don't know how long the magic will last because sometimes, again, like the OG Summer House had a good run. Now it's like, you know, in the toilet again. But I think while we're on a good streak with this, get in now. It is amazing, okay? One of the fights they have is they're like clashing over the bedrooms. You know how they always do the every reality show where people have to stay in a house, the producers always book it where there'll be like not enough room. So some people are going to have to share, people have to fight over the good room. Like that's just a thing they do on every reality show. Very contrived. They do it on this too. But then this one guy, he wants the bedroom and this other guy, Nick, got it. So he goes and shits in the toilet as kind of like an alpha move of like, yo, I'm going to shit in this toilet and I'm not going to flush it. And you're going to have to flush my shit down the toilet. And this guy's like, I'm not flushing that fucking toilet. And then they get into like a huge fight over it. And then it almost becomes like a brawl in the house. Like this cast is bringing it and they're giving us new things that we haven't seen, like unflushed pooping in the toilet. So get on this show, guys. Oh, and speaking of Vanderpump Rules, did you guys see how Faith from Vanderpump Rules is trying to sue Stassi over her book in this like scam fucking lawsuit? So basically what happened was Faith got a bunch of the cast members canceled on Vanderpump Rules, like back during the summer of Floyd, as the George Floyd thing was breaking. She came out and she was like, Kristen and Stassi called the police on me and, you know, I could have been killed like George Floyd was, et cetera, et cetera. It set off this chain reaction, this backlash that was so crazy. Like, Kristen didn't have that much to lose because all she really had was the show and she sort of had a t-shirt line, which wasn't really doing well. Actually, she had a book coming out, so it completely destroyed her book. It was like right as the book was like just coming out and she was about to promote it. So that ruined that for her. She lost the show and she pretty much became completely irrelevant until, you know, 2 months ago when she started milking the Scandival for herself. But Stassi, girl, Stassi had a huge hit podcast. She was doing a tour for the podcast. She had a deal to do an animated series. She was going to be part of a Vanderpump Rules spinoff called Valley Rules. I think she was in talks for some kind of like talk show on E! Girl, Stassi was like the it girl in the industry at this point, really, with like stuff that was happening for her. This whole scandal got her cancelled so hard. She lost everything. She lost the podcast. They deleted all of the episodes. Tour was cancelled. Lost every single TV show deal she had. Her manager dropped her. Her publicist dropped her. Her book publisher dropped her. Like, she was cancelled so fucking hard. She had a really, really full-on cancellation. And people have been trying to get her for a long time because she is sort of the stereotype of that, like, privileged white girl that is, you know, like, sometimes she would sort of say, she would say ignorant things, although, like, they were actually correct, but people couldn't handle it. But anyway, her ass got cancelled so fucking hard, and then she started to, like, re-emerge this year, and have a comeback. And now she is back. Because again, the wokeness thing, it hasn't really worked. They're trying to fucking bring it back. Like, you know, the Jordan Neely, the guy that was quote unquote lynched on the train, like RIP, that was sad. Okay. No one wants to see that happen. But like, they really tried to turn that into George Floyd 2.0. And everyone was like, no, sorry, we're not going to be like rioting and like destroying your stores and like turning the world upside down again. Not gonna happen. Like, they tried, there were some protests in the subways and stuff, but they ended after about a week. So they're trying so hard to like keep this thing going. It's like, girl, you got away with it once, okay? And now we've looked back. BLM was a scam. The fucking COVID thing was a scam with the vaccines and the mask. Like, everything you guys said was a fucking lie, and most people know it now. So it's not going to work again. I mean, people are stupid and have goldfish brains, so I'm sure you'll pull it off again. But it's like, it's too soon. We probably need a little bit more distance between this before you're going to be able to like fool the masses at this level again. But Faith has jumped in now and she started a GoFundMe to raise money to sue Stassi because she's saying that Stassi has profited off of her in her book, because, you know, Stassi's come back now. Stassi has a new podcast deal. The podcast is doing well. She had a new book and she wrote a book about being cancelled. It was a New York Times bestseller. Like, she's doing great again. She's getting deals. She's getting booked. Like, it's all good with her. And she's had to do the whole, like, apology tour of, I hired a diversity coach and now I'm going to listen and learn and blah, blah, blah. Like, she has to fucking roll over and play submissive for you fucking losers out there, even though she, like, really doesn't need to. But anyway, Faith's trying to sue her. And I'm just like, girl, do we really want to like, you got off so lucky. Do we really want to go over the facts of what actually happened and what kind of person you are? Because you made out from that scandal very well. First of all, Faith was an irrelevant supporting character on the show. And then she got a lot of followers and a lot of clout from this whole scandal. She got booked on some MTV show. I think she had X on the Beach, something like that. I think she was trying to get her own, like a black version of Vanderpump Rules off the ground, which is like, great. Like, I'm all for, by the way, should have said this about Martha's Vineyard. I think it's a really smart idea instead of doing the forced diversity, like you can have diversity in the shows if it's natural, for sure. Like Summer House OG, it's worked out really well, I think, with Sierra and Maya. It's been a very seamless integration. There hasn't really been any issues, but obviously with the Housewives and stuff, it hasn't worked. So I think it's good to be like, okay, let's do Family Karma. I think they're Indian on that, or they're Middle Eastern, something like that. Let's do Martha's Vineyard. Like, you know, let's do Dubai Bling, whatever. No, Bling Empire, like just give all the minorities their own show with their own friends and stuff. And then, you know, and then it's organic and you're not trying to like force people together where people are going to go, you were racist because, you know, they don't like someone in a reality TV fight. So I'm all for Faith doing whatever she wants with her career and getting her own show and stuff. But now trying to fucking leech off of Stassi. Like, do we want to go over the facts? So first of all, Stassi and Kristen never called the police on her. That was a fucking lie that just got circulated over social media and was like pushed by all of the woke accounts. What happened? And they should have never called anyone in the first place, by the way. So not condoning that, because I do think that was some like bitchy kind of bullying stuff. But what had happened was Faith had sex with Jax. Faith was caring for an elderly dementia patient. So that's what she was working as on the side. She was a carer. So she invited Jax in, who was engaged to Brittany, who was Stassi's best friend. And she got Jax to come over. They fucked, I think, in the room with the dementia patient. So that is so unprofessional. Like, you're there to look after my grandmother that is hooked up to a fucking machine, dialysis machine, whatever the fuck, drips. God knows what this old poor old lady was hooked up on, going cuckoo gaga in a fucking coma. And you're like fucking doing doggy style on the floor next to the bed while it goes beep, 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 beep. Like, you're getting like fucked next to this old grandma. She secretly recorded it, which is illegal, so she could blackmail Jax. I think it was some kind of ploy to be on the show. Then that got leaked out and became a storyline, etc. So you are like foul for doing that. And then she had been accused of actually stealing stuff from some other people. And then like, I haven't looked into that fully, but I think she'd been doing some dodgy stuff. Like, she was not on the level. And then Stassi and Kristen, they called like a tip line. So they didn't call the police directly. They called a tip line. Kristen Doty left her details with the tip line because they were going to report Faith, because they were like, oh, we think that she, because there was, they saw this footage of like this woman that they thought matched Faith's description stealing from some store. So they went to like dob her in. So they called the tip line. Kristen left her own details. Kristen left Kristen's details, okay, as in like, call me back. The tip line never called back. That was the end of it. And then in the media, of course, it got turned to, they falsely accused her of crime and called the cops on her, and she could have been shot like Breonna Taylor. Like, that's not what happened. And then they did the George Floyd treatment to Faith, where, or the Jordan Neely treatment, where it's like, no one deserves to have that happen to them at all. Like, if you have a criminal past or not, like, you don't deserve this, like, period, obviously. But they, you know, St. Floyd, it's like, let's just erase, like, you know, St. Neely, like, let's erase, like, all the crimes and all the shadiness of the backstory, like all the context to this. And they did that with Faith, and they acted like she was like so perfect. And then she weaponized it at the time of BLM to get the girls canceled. They lost everything. Of course, Faith never came out and like cleared up any of the details. Of course, no one looked at like the full context of things and stuff. So she got away with it. And then she got all this clout. She got on the MTV show, et cetera, et cetera. So she should be happy with that. You won. You basically pulled off a scam on these girls and you emerged victorious. And now she's back out again with a GoFundMe, which, what are you suing for? She's trying to say that Stassi's profiting off of her from her book, because Stassi wrote a memoir and talked about the experience. And literally in the book, because I downloaded it to listen to see what was up, Stassi's like, you know, I learned a lot. I got a diversity coach. I understand now that even though from my perspective, what I did was not motivated by race, for Faith, it was about race, because she's a black woman and she has, you know, adversity that like I can never understand as a white girl. So like, she was doing all of that and was like, didn't say anything negative about Faith. So now for Faith to try cash in, like, you don't have, there's no case here for you to win. So the GoFundMe is a scam. And it's like, this time of us just throwing money at people who cry racism is over. We saw how much money BLM ran off with. Like, That's out there in black and white of how much fucking millions they ran off with and where the money went. And it went to fucking mansions and it went to, you know, I'm going to pay you $1 million a year to do my, quote, security. You know, and like it was a fucking scam. So I don't know, but it's just funny because she's trying this and people aren't really falling for it. Like, she's trying to make this happen. She's trying to use this to like get back on top and people are not falling for it. And you can just really see the shift and they try and they fucking try with this stuff. And it's like, no, we've been there, done that. It's not happening. So I actually think that Stassi should counter sue her. I think Stassi should maybe sue her for defamation because I'm sure there's probably a lot of interviews that Faith did around that time where she actually misrepresented what went down with the, you know, as in like they called the police on me. She said a lot of shit about Stassi. And Stassi can prove that from that, I lost all of these deals, okay? Like, Stassi probably lost, like, millions of dollars in income over those years. If you factor in the Vanderpump Rules salary, the podcast tour, the TV deals, that's millions of dollars. I actually think Stassi should fucking come after her. And I wouldn't have said that before because it's like, okay, Faith, look, you got away with it once. Good for you. You know what? Like they should never have called a fucking tip line on you and accused, you know what I mean? Because that's like, that's not cool because it goes beyond like petty reality kind of stuff. Like even though she did fuck Jax and record him and stuff, maybe she should report Faith for that. Girl, report Faith's fucking ass because we see what she's doing. She's trying to fucking ruin you again. She's seeing you back on top and she's trying to bring you down. Counter sue her ass. Or maybe don't, because it'll be a bad PR, because then all the woke fans will be like, Stassi's learned nothing. She's trying to destroy a black woman. Actually, probably just make Faith more famous again. Ugh. I don't know. I'm in two minds. Guys, clap if you think Stassi should sue Faith for everything she's worth or not. Let me know in the comments. And while we're on the subject of grifters, actually, Harry and Meghan, you guys know that I don't like to talk about them too much anymore. You know, I feel like it's overdone. What else is there to say? We've said it all. We know the score. Read the damn Tom Bauer book, Revenge, that has all the tea in it. I tell you guys to read that all the time. Like, once you've read that, once you've looked at the fact checkers and see what a liar she is, it's like, okay, we don't need to like beat this fucking dead horse. But like, she keeps giving us some really good content. First was the car accident. I mean, I knew she fucking was going to lie about that as soon as I read the headline. I'm like, this is not going to be what she's saying it is. And then, of course, we find out that, you know, not true. And now this Spotify situation is everywhere. I was kind of like a little taken aback by how much press this got. Like, I know that she gets press for everything she does. Honestly, like, she can't even go out in public without like body language experts, you know, picking her apart. And I do feel bad for her about because I'm just like, guys, come on, like, let's just stick to the facts of like when she's lying. Do we need to like obsess over everything she does? Like, I can't believe she ate a piece of lettuce like that. Like, people literally get like that about her. So I find it a little kind of like an unhealthy fixation. But this Spotify thing is everywhere. So her and Harry, they lost their $20 million deal with Spotify. Everyone's talking about it. Everyone hates her. No one feels sorry for her. And even the Americans are against her, okay? So everyone outside of the States has, like, figured out Meghan Markle for a hot minute now. You know, it's not news to us that she is, you know, like an entitled fucking grifter, like Bill Simmons said. We know she's full of shit, okay? But in America specifically, she still had this buffer back in the States, really off the back of BLM. Not trying to make everything about BLM this episode, but really, like, she kind of came to prominence during that. It became a politicized thing in America to like or dislike her. It kind of informed your politics. If you were pro Meghan Markle, that meant that you were progressive and not racist. And if you criticized her, you're a racist, you hate her because she's biracial, et cetera, et cetera. You're a crazy right winger, you're fucking MAGA. And very strange, but she became just like a political, like, football almost. And while the rest of the world figured her out, America just had this buffer where if you even criticized her at all, you got shut down as a racist. And they just didn't report the facts on her when she was lying and stuff. Like, even her Oprah interview that she did, the famous Oprah interview, which I think was in 2021, you know, Daily Mail and some of the tabloids and the places in Britain were fact-checking that and going, she lied about this, she lied about that. America is like, never happened, you know. So she's had this, like, get-out-of-jail-free card in America. And of course, like, you know, during the whole BLM moment, these companies are throwing money at these, you know, celebrities and figures that they think are, you know, progressive. So they sign her to what, $100 million deal at Netflix, $20 million at Spotify. When she got dumped by Spotify, I'm like, let me just like check the temperature of how people are receiving Megan, because I'm used to Americans still defending her and American media defending her. So I went on YouTube and I went into the, you know, the podcast apps, all of that. And I'm just typing in Meghan Markle Spotify. And I'm like clicking on the most normie, mainstream, you know, woke white girl fronted shows out there to see what are they saying about her. And people are fucking through with her. So I think the biggest telltale sign was the Crown Jewels podcast. That is a terrible podcast from Betches, and it's a royal podcast, but it's that Samantha Bush, who we know that I hate, and some the other girl I don't know, so I can't speak on her, but it's like these two American girls that know nothing about the royals beyond just reading the royal section in Us Weekly, and they were given a royal podcast. I mean, I'm not a royal fan either, and I don't really know that much about them, but here in Australia, they're huge, and we have, like, dedicated, like, royal experts and, like, correspondents that know all the history of the royal family and so much, just, like, the little kind of minutiae of it and, like, the protocols and everything. And then these two girls, they just, like, you know, they watch the Oprah interview with Meghan. They flip through a tabloid and suddenly they're royal experts. So they have this like terrible podcast and they're always defending Meghan Markle, because I've heard it before, because a couple of times when there's been a big Meghan moment, I've gone to them to listen to the take and it's always like, I can't believe people are criticizing her. Like, they must be racist. It's like the most generic takes possible. I put on the Crown Jewels podcast over the Spotify thing. They are over her. They're like, we're done. We don't like her anymore. We can't stand her. I was like, oh my God. Like, and you know what it is? Everyone in media is pissed with Meghan Markle because we all work in media and we know, first of all, like, we do this as a job to like put food on the table. No one's just handing us like $20 million. Like, we're on the grind, whether we have a podcast, whether we're working for a media outlet, whether we're working in like production or whatever aspect of the media industry, we're all out here trying to make a living off of it. And then when you see Meghan Markle get thrown $20 million to put out a terrible product, like that Archetypes podcast was so bad. That was like 12-year-old girl discovers feminist takes. Why are women called a bitch but men are called a boss? Like, it was so bad. Like, when I listened to it, I was like, holy fuck, like they couldn't have placed her with like better people, because it has a staff of 30 people to do an episode on that show. Most podcasts, like even a big podcast, has like 3 staff members or something. Like, you might have like an editor and a producer and like someone else, and that would be it. She's having like 30 people to put together her show, which is fucking unbelievable. And it was still terrible. So like, yeah, all of us in the media are like pissed about it. Like, you got that much money, you put out a terrible product, and then we're hearing all this stuff behind the scenes of like she couldn't come up with any ideas. They needed Harry to do a podcast as part of the deal. He couldn't come up with anything. The execution was terrible. She was difficult to work with. She would like think of something and they'll be like, okay, how are we going to execute it? Can you like flesh this concept out? She couldn't do it. Like, completely useless. Just nothing going on upstairs, nothing to offer. And I think her big problem is that she is so obsessed with image and how she's perceived that I think she overthinks everything she's doing to her own detriment. Like, if she kind of loosened up, and I don't think she can loosen up, like, I think it's she is who she is, but if she could like let that guard down a little bit and just free it up, like, you might be able to find something human or interesting there to connect with. But she's so obsessed with having this like certain image that I think when it comes time for her to like do a deal now, like put out a podcast, you know, produce a Netflix show, she just can't come up with anything because she's like, how are people going to think about this? And then she wants like a million edits to it. So all of us in the media that have podcasts and that commentate on this stuff, this has like hit us differently than all of the other Meghan Markle things. Like, sure, she, you know, misled people about the fire in South Africa with baby Archie. She misled people about the car crash. Sure, sure, sure. But when it's like something like this, an industry that we all work on, and you fucking squandered $20 million, like, we're pissed, because we would all want to, if you gave any of us that has a podcast or anything $20 million, are you kidding? Like, the amount of fucking content I could make with $20 million, like, if you guys are on my Patreon, you know that I've started working on producing my own reality show in the States, and I already have like other ideas for other shows that I'm like, when I get to LA, I'm like, I'm gonna be out fucking pitching this shit. Like, I'm coming with really good ideas. I'm like a nobody here in Australia. If someone gave me $20 million, girl, I would have so many shows on the air. Like, it's crazy. So she's fucked. She wasn't even doing the interviews herself. That's old news, by the way, but that's been like the big takeaway. People realize that she would record her parts and then the editors would edit her parts in with, so it sound like she's having a conversation with the guest, but she wasn't. I already knew that. That actually came out a long time ago, but I mean, yeah, it's like I said, with the American media buff, maybe they didn't highlight it that much because people didn't want to, you know, put down her like feminist progressive podcast. So people had to kind of pretend that it was good. The Netflix deal is also a disaster. Their shows keep getting canned. So they had the docuseries slash reality show, Harry and Meghan. I didn't watch that, but I know there were lies in that because my girl, Shallon Lester, was lied about in that. And I think she's pursuing legal action. I don't know if she's done anything formally. She's talked about it, but, and I had to write a story about it for the Daily Mail, and I had to like fact check some of it. And like the documentary had fucking lies in it, which was also kind of wild. Like, Netflix paid that much money, and they have like such a big department, and they would let her air a documentary just with like false claims. I mean, a lot of documentaries are that. It's just kind of interesting that they didn't, maybe they didn't care. I think they just wanted to put out that narrative, because that documentary actually convinced some people. Like, I know some people just around town here that they watched it and they're like, oh, I like Meghan, because they don't look any deeper. They just see the headlines and they watch the Harry and Meghan, which is just a propaganda piece for her and Harry. And they're like, oh yeah, you know, they really were like, you know, victims of racism. They really were treated badly by the royals, and they just take that at face value, not knowing the like history of her as this like social climber and all the things she lies about, and just what like a dummy Harry is. I mean, they're really the worst. And the only things they've made money off is that Harry and Meghan series, because that was part of their $100 million deal. People did watch that because it was like their tell-all about the royal family. But anytime they do anything outside of that, it flops. So they did the book Spare that Harry did. Everyone bought that. I was surprised how many people bought it. Like, people that I know that hate Harry and Meghan like went and bought that book and listened to it. So people are obsessed with the gossip aspect, but when they do anything outside of it, which is what part of this deal is, it's like you have to produce shows, kind of like the Obamas are. Like, you've got to give us like documentaries. Most of their documentaries and other shows have been knocked back because the concepts aren't fleshed out according to reports. There's like nothing there. They did one called Live to Lead, and I watched the trailer of it right before I recorded this, and it was so generic. It was like about inspirational leaders, and they had Jacinda Ardern, the female moron New Zealand prime minister. They had Greta Thunberg. Like, how many times can we do Greta Thunberg? Like, Nelson Mandela. Like, no shade to any of them. I know I just shaded them, but no shade to those people, but they're just such obvious, boring, generic choices. But that's how fucking basic Meghan Markle is. Like, listen to her goddamn speeches. Anytime she gets on a mic, it's full on word salad, no charisma, no charm. Like, she's terrible. And I'm actually glad that Netflix and Spotify blew their fucking money and threw money down the toilet on these two, because they kind of deserve it. Because, like, y'all were stupid. You got sucked into the BLM woke progressive COVID moment. You threw money, hundreds of millions of dollars, at these fucking brainless grifters. You didn't even do your due diligence to like sit down with them and figure out like, hey, are we actually going to get a return on investment? Like, what are they going to give us besides some salacious like royal tea? You didn't check properly, and now you've wasted fucking money, and that's why you're all flopping. And it's actually made it harder for everyone else in the industry, because I know a lot of content creators, like, not me, because I'm not at a level where I get like sponsorships and stuff. I just like do this for a lark really on the side. But I know people that are professional content creators, and the last few years it's been very hard to book ads for podcasts and things like that and YouTube, because all of these companies like Spotify just threw money at everyone to get exclusive deals with them, and just thought, okay, if we get a celebrity on our platform, we're going to make all this money back. It's like, no, bitch, like, you don't. Like, you make money off Alex Cooper of Call Her Daddy. She has a unique, you know, she has a POV, she has an organic built-in audience, she has something to say. Joe Rogan, the same thing. But like, if you just get a celebrity and bring them over and pay them fucking $10 million to do a podcast, like, no one cares. Like, these people are fucking boring, and it wasted the money, and then it's ruined it for all of these other people who actually have engaged audiences, because brands are scared to spend now, because brands went out and they spent money on, you know, the Meghan Markle pod and the other things like Kardashians. I was talking to someone that, said that they spent a bunch of money on the Kardashians to do some like brand promotion. There was 0% engagement on it. The Kardashians can sell their own products, and I think they have like interesting products. Like, I think Skims is cool and some of the other stuff. So when they have their own lines, like, you know, the Kylie Cosmetics, they can sell that. But they, because that looks authentic, because to the fans, they feel like, oh, the Kardashians, you know, Kylie Jenner created this, and they see it play out on the reality show. You know, they see Kim looking at skim samples and they think, okay, I'm invested in this product. But like, the Kardashians can't sell anything when it's just a brand deal of like them doing an ad on Instagram. Like Kylie Jenner, if she's posing with, oh, please drink my, you know, new watermelon, like vitamin water, like, you're not going to sell one bottle from that. So the Markles don't have any kind of like engagement to them. The Obamas, I've heard mixed things. Some people said the Obamas projects have been really successful. Other people said they haven't. I think they've done well, but that's not a surprise, because I mean, Obama like ran for president. So you've got to like, you know, you've got to create a relationship between yourself and like voters to get people to vote for you. So obviously people are going to have an investment in him. But yeah, Harry and Meghan, they're done. Like, once you've got the crown jewels bimbos like turning on you, like, it's fucking over. And there's more leaks coming out about them too, just out of like California high society. I heard something about them mooching because they met some like rich couple at dinner like once, and then they were texting them going, oh, can we use your private jet? Can we use your holiday home? Which is so gross. It's funny because I just recorded someone else's podcast, Perfume Nationalist, today. It comes out later this week. And I was talking about being in LA, and I was like, look, this makes me sound like such a social climber, but being in LA was so cool because there's so many people there with like money. Like, you just have like rich friends and they have, you know, fun things to do. But I didn't mean it in a Harry and Meghan way, because I would never meet someone that has money and then go, oh my God, can I use your holiday house or what, like, or just be friends with someone for money. I just meant organically being in the entertainment industry, then it's just a different lifestyle. There's just bigger kind of people. So you do run into people that have access to certain things, or they have a, you know, a rich friend that's throwing a party somewhere, stuff like that. I went on, you guys know how I went on that private plane when I went to Montana, which would never ever happen in Australia, but it's like, that just fell into my lap through one of the friends that I had. But I would never then go and like text that person that has the plane going, oh my God, can you pay for my plane again to go? Like, that's crazy. But like, that's what like Meghan and Harry are doing. Tim Dillon even said on his show that he had been hearing whispers from around like Hollywood of them, you know, social climbing at parties. Well, I think more Meghan. I think Harry just follows her around, and like, apparently people are getting like sick of them. They're like, dude, she'll just like glom onto anyone that has like any influence. And Tim was, in all sincerity, predicting that she'll end up on The Real Housewives. I don't think she will. I think they will just end up doing more kind of like docu-series shows on Netflix. So it'll be more like Harry and Meghan says season two. And maybe they'll try to bring that Tig blog back and do some kind of lifestyle-y stuff, because the political stuff's not going to work. It's like I've been saying all of this episode, it doesn't fucking work, and everyone's over it, and everyone's like cottoned on, even the Black Summer House, with the way they're editing the show, because they know that it's like not what we want. So Meghan Markle coming out here getting $20 million to feature the same Greta Thunberg sound bites that we've heard 47 times already. Like, it's not going to fly. So I think they're going to do like more reality stuff. But yes, if you look into them really, and I mean, most of you, if you're listening to me, you probably dislike her already, but look into her past and stuff. Like, this is who she is. Like, she's just a social climber, but there's nothing there. And, you know, everything in the dark comes to the light eventually, and that's what's happening now. And yeah, okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'll see you all 1 week, 2 weeks, who knows, probably 2 weeks, because I have a lot of stuff coming. But, you know, I always have stuff on the Patreon. I'll do another Patreon this week where I will, you know what, on the Patreon, I'm going to talk about the Martha's Vineyard finale and the next episode of OC and, you know, whatever other stuff's going on. And yeah, that's patreon.com/unpopularjp. All the links for everything are in the show notes. Thanks for listening. And yeah, make sure you're following me on Instagram at unpopularjp. And when I'm on, I'll be on the Perfume Nationalist later this week doing a Melrose Place episode. So when that drops, I will share the link so you can hear that. Thanks, guys. Bye.